Okay, so we're up to the 11th mishnah of the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer Kol Sheyiras Cheto Kodemes LeChachmaso Chachmaso Miskayemes VeChol SheChachmaso Kodemes LeYiras Cheto In Chachmaso Miskayemes Hu Haya Omer. So relatedly, he would say Kol SheMaasav Mirubin MeChachmaso Chachmaso Miskayemes VeChol SheChachmaso Mirube MiMaasav Ein chachmaso miskayemes. So the Mishnah translates: anyone whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom, that wisdom will be lasting. Chachmaso miskayemes. If the inverse is true, kol shechachmaso kodem l'siras chato, the person's wisdom will somehow precede. We'll define that term in a moment. His fear of sin. That wisdom, whatever wisdom has been accumulated, will not be lasting. Ein chachmaso miskayemes. Relatedly, kol shemaasav, a person whose actions are mirubin, quantitatively, maybe qualitatively, greater than his wisdom, that wisdom will be lasting. And a person whose wisdom is greater, quantitatively, qualitatively, than their actions, than their acts of righteousness, so that wisdom will not last. So clearly, the common denominator between the two components of the Mishnah is what exactly makes Chachma miskayemes. So what exactly makes Chachma lasting? And we have the supposition that Yiras Chet, fear of sin, and Ma'asim, what's called a Ma'asim Tovim, positive deeds, are a prerequisite to cause wisdom to be lasting. So the Bar Tanura comments that these are really two halves of a coin, Yiras Chet and Ma'asim Tovim. Yiras Chet relates to Lo Saseh, things that we're not allowed to do. And Ma'asim Tovim, that relates to our Mitzvot Saseh. So basically, if you wanted to integrate the two halves of the Mishnah, so what it really has to do with is a person's commitment to the implementation of Torah has to somehow precede their knowledge of Torah. And in that way, their knowledge of Torah, Miskayemes, that knowledge, that Chachma that has been accrued, will be lasting. So, following this train of thought, this line of interpretation of the Mishnah, so we've got a couple observations to make. First observation to make is that there's this concern in the Mishnah that a person's chachma, a person's wisdom, will not be maintained. Apparently, this happens, right? Apparently, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is talking about Chachma she'ena miskayemes, the person who had accumulated a massive amount of Torah knowledge and they could lose it all. So, and not, you know, on account of some, you know, medical issue or cognitive decline, that's a separate matter. But for spiritual reasons, that's a very profound matter, right? I don't know if historians or physicists or chemists walk around saying, you know, we're very concerned that people are going to forget their physics. We're very concerned that people are going to forget their chemistry. We're very concerned that Civil War historians are going to forget about Vicksburg or Gettysburg or Reconstruction. So the very concept of the Mishnah is noteworthy, that we're concerned about people somehow turning away from and losing their Torah knowledge. And that way, it's a direct continuation of the previous Mishnah, where we talked about the severity of a person forgetting even one item of their Torah learning. We define forgetting in that context as trying to forget, but be that as it may, you see an overlap in terms of the concern that Torah knowledge will somehow be lost. The Gemara in Shabbos tells the story of Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, who we've already discussed in the second chapter, one of the leading students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great creative mind, the Mayan HaMisgaber. So there the Gemara says that he lost all of his Torah knowledge from, you know, being the great mind of the generation to being functionally illiterate, reading HaChodesh HaZalachem as HaChereish HaYalibam, obviously metaphorical, but reflecting this profound deterioration and denigration, a Yerida, a decline of Torah knowledge. That's an observation to make, is the very Mishnah itself reflects just how precious, but in some sense how fragile our attachment to Torah really can be. Now, what about in a more direct fashion, the substance of the Mishnah? The way that Chachma is miskayemes, the way that Torah knowledge is preserved, is maintained, is lasting, is something that a person carries with them forever. And let's remember, you know, the Brice in Kenyan HaTorah says, B'shas p'tiraso shel Adam, when a person leaves this world, ein melavin lola Adam, person is only escorted by the Torah that they learned here. Right, Torah masim tovim bilvad. Right, kilovim moso yikach hakolo yered acharav kivodo. We don't get to bring material things with us, so it's a matter of great urgency that we want to bring all of our Torah learning with us. So, how exactly do we do that? So, the Mishnah here is focused on yiras chet and masim tovim, basically practical implementation of the Torah. So, the Rambam here, very famously, and this has much traction in those who follow the Rambam, has a particular stipulation or premise that really gets to the core of what knowledge is all about. So we tend to think about like knowledge and morality as two separate areas. This is a long tradition in the Western canon. So some people are familiar that following the First World War, what they called then the war to end all wars, they didn't know at the time that a generation later, they'd have a war that would dwarf the First World War in size and scope of the casualties and the mortality. But be that as it may, so certain universities, including famously Columbia University, instituted a core curriculum that was going to socialize people with the basic traditions of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Thucydides and Herodotus and all of the great Greek civilization, Roman civilization, Cicero, Aeschylus, etc. And this would prevent people from going to war again. In other words, that knowledge was associated with moral development. Then the Second World War comes, and you have the most advanced nation in the world, scientifically, philosophically, committing the most barbaric acts in the history of humanity, the worst genocide in Nazi Germany. And nobody's going to say about Nazi Germany that there weren't educated people there, that there weren't sophisticated universities, right? It's a wonder. It's a subject of ongoing historical inquiry, how society could be so debased. But after the Second World War, we're still living with the consequences of this. And part of what we have today in terms of mistrust of experts and rejection, repudiation of science, I believe does draw its roots actually from that period of human history where the most advanced and the most sophisticated committed the worst acts of barbarism. And so people are very skeptical, and in some sense, rightly so, what exactly does knowledge get you? But classically, and certainly this was the Maimonidean tradition, this was the tradition of Rambam, is that these are really two fully integrated areas. The Rambam writes in many places in his commentary in Pirkei Avos, in many places in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, Shmoneh Prakim, that the goal of Pirkei Avos is for a person to perfect their intellect as well as their character. Malos ha-sichlios u-malos ha-midos. So what the Rambam points out here is that the malos ha-midos come first, right? That a person who perfects their character traits, that's what we call here yiras cheto, and masim tovim, have to be kodmin, and when those are in place, then a person's soul desires more and more knowledge. That is to say, there's an integration. When you have a soul that is unrefined, that hasn't been developed properly in terms of moral virtues, so that person is going to despise wisdom, because wisdom is all about tempering a person's character and refining it, and chachma will get in the way for that person. So let's say if you define wisdom as something that's going to teach a person discipline and chastity and probity and integrity, and that person, you know, just wants to steal and is greedy, and so they're not going to want any wisdom because it's constantly going to be impeding their goal, what it is exactly that they want. So the Rambam maintains that's what this Mishnah is talking about, that it's only in a situation where a person has perfected their character, their qualities, their personal attributes. So in that kind of a situation, what you're going to have is a person will desire knowledge because it will reinforce all of the work that they've done, chachmaso, indeed, miskayemes. So it's a little hard for us today because, again, we're trained in a world that does really see these things as separate, as knowledge and moral development. But we should remember that optimally these are truly integrated. And it does, in the end, come down to what is one's starting point. And so I wanted to conclude with what the Vilna Gaon comments very simply on this Mishnah, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, that I think ultimately the answer to the problem that Nazi Germany poses for, well, does knowledge really lead you to a more moral place? Does scientific expertise lead you to a more moral place? The answer is yes, if that first piece of knowledge is Yiras Hashem. If you recognize that when you study chemistry and physics and biology and astrophysics and all human disciplines, that when one is really studying the handiwork of God, so then yes, of course, all knowledge really does point one in the direction of moral development. And somebody who has been working on character, Yiras Chato Ma'asim Tovim, that person will desire more and more to come close to God, and God will be that person's end goal in terms of closeness, and that will lead to Chachmaso Miskayemes. They'll hold on to every piece of, every little morsel of Chachma very intensively. Chachmaso Miskayemes here, not just as a natural consequence, but because of a deep personal investment, the opposite of what we had in the previous Mishnah, of a person who actively tries to remove Torah from their hearts. Wish everybody a wonderful rest of the weekend and a good night.